Still to come on the program, a luxury tourist train in Tibet. Canadian investors are getting on board.
您正在收听的是加拿大国际广播电台的商业专刊节目，由戴维·布莱尔主持。You are listening to Business Sense on Radio Canada International with David Blair.
Well, now we take you on a train ride. But this is no ordinary train ride. It's a luxury train that will shuttle tourists through China and across the Himalayan mountains into Tibet. The Chinese government has just built a rail link that can take passengers from Beijing to the Tibetan capital, Lhasa. And while the rail link is controversial, a group of Canadian investors are backing a plan to build a luxury service for tourists who can afford to pay for top-notch train travel. Well, you've heard of the Orient Express. Well, this will rival some of the best, most luxurious train rides in the world. I spoke to the man leading a group of Canadian investors behind this project earlier this week.
My name is Howard Balak, and I'm president of the Balak Group, a financial advisory and investment banking firm based in Beijing. So the project is a proposed tourist train to Lhasa in Tibet. It's aimed at international tourism who are interested in visiting Tibet in a reasonably nice setting. The cars will be very nice. Every couple traveling will have a nice little, what we used to call couchettes, and there will be dining cars. It should just be a very nice train. Not unsimilar to some of the other tourist trains that function in different parts of the world, in South Africa or Australia or in our own Rocky Mountains. I haven't seen the final designs myself right now, but I know that they're going to be very luxurious trains. They will have very comfortable surroundings, and of course they'll have absolutely phenomenal views to look out at as they progress towards their destination. They will be stopping at various cities. They won't always stay on the train. They'll have an opportunity to get off the train and visit sites of archaeological or historical interest, which will greatly increase the interest to those who are very interested in what they are looking at. Tibet is very mountainous to the south, the Himalayas, of course, but it is a plain, the Tibetan Qinghai Plateau, very high plain that has wonderful flora and fauna. It is one of the most stunning sceneries of this world, I think. A large amount of it is quite flat, but it has, as you go up into it, you go up through the foothills and onto the plain. And then always in the south, there are these fantastic mountains. I think it will be reasonably well-off people from North America, Europe, and Asia who will come to use this product. My guess is that we'll probably find that it's mostly people who are retired with still a lot of energy and a desire to see the world. People should go with the intent of spending a week or two because it really is a chance of a lifetime to see an extraordinary part of the world. So I would think we're primarily talking about reasonably well-off retired people from Europe, North America, and Asia. We had to apply through the Ministry of Railways and talk to other parts of the Chinese government. There's some sensitivity, of course, in terms of the impact of tourism in Tibet, but on balance, people thought the story was a very good story. As far as we know, there were actually competition for authority. There were other groups who were similarly applying to the Chinese government for the authority to operate such a train. It's good for Tibet. It's good to see Tibet this way. It gives them an opportunity to see something they never could see without the train, because you'd never be able to travel through that expanse of Tibet and see it the way they're going to see it. It's a great project. I've done Rocky Mountain Rail tours. That's a fantastic tour through our own Rocky Mountains. Train travel is a great way to go, and I loved it because I just adored to travel places by train and see things from a train window. It's at a relatively advanced stage, but the train cars are being designed right now, but they're not yet being built. We hope the service will begin either late next year or early the following year.
Howard Balik is leading a group of Canadian investors on a project to build a luxury train service from Beijing, China to Lhasa, Tibet. This is Business Sense on RCI. And while this rail service through Tibet is attracting Canadian investors, it is also attracting opposition from some Tibetan activists. To look at what's happening in that part of the world, joining me is Charles Burton. He's an associate professor at Brock University in St. Catharines, Ontario. It's about an hour outside of Toronto, and he specializes in Chinese politics. He's in St. Catharines. Hello.
Hi.
Professor Burton, just what is happening right now economically in Tibet?
Well, you have a certain amount of economic activity, mostly dominated by Han Chinese people who are the ethnic majority in China, but whose native place is not the Tibet Autonomous Region. But up to now, of course, it's been limited due to the transportation infrastructure problem, and this railway will facilitate a great deal of enhanced economic activity between the mainland part of China and Tibet. The plane is expensive. It's a long way.
Now, mind you, the world has been looking at China for the past number of years because there's sort of an economic boom going on in that country. Is this similar to what's happening, what we're seeing in Tibet?
Well, certainly, you know, there's the potential for boom in Tibet. Tibet has extensive natural resources. And the Chinese government has put a lot of investment into that area, but for the most part, the beneficiaries of that investment have not been the Tibetans, who remain largely small traders and herdsmen, but have been Chinese people, Han Chinese people, a different ethnic group, who have moved into Tibet to take advantage of economic opportunities there. So there's been development, but it hasn't actually benefited the native inhabitants of Tibet.
So what do you think of this luxury train project to Lhasa?
Well, I think certainly it'll be a very successful venture. A lot of people would like to spend $1,000 a day for a high luxury China experience. There are a lot of concerns about the railway among the Canadian NGOs who have interest in Tibet. For one thing, there's concern that it'll mean too many tourists will be going to Tibet, which will have a negative impact on the sensitive ecosystem there and the temples. And there's also concerns about the beneficiaries of the investment there. I mean, for example, this railway will be taking in a lot of money, but whether very much of that money will end up in the hands of Tibetans or whether it'll be largely repatriated to the inside of China and to the foreign investors remains to be seen. There's also some concern that the railway facilitates the Chinese government's policy of having more Chinese people move to Tibet, which overwhelms the Tibetan population and might make it more stable from Beijing's point of view, and that the Canadian railway, by charging a premium, which will go to the Chinese government, will help subsidize the Chinese railway, for which the tickets are substantially subsidized, to allow more people to go on that train and get into Tibet to do business and settle and so on.
So with all of these points that you've brought up, what kind of opposition is there to this project?
Well, I think there's quite a lot of opposition among Tibetans abroad and among an element of the Tibetan society inside China. And so, you know, I think there's concern that Tibet may be going in a direction that the Tibetans themselves would not want. Most Tibetans would prefer that they have political autonomy and that the investment there be of benefit to Tibetan people. And so I think there is quite a lot of opposition. On the other hand, with the railway, it will facilitate more economic activity, which has the potential to feed into Tibet. But that's a cause for concern.
And, of course, doing business in this political climate with the communist China is kind of a unique situation. Just how difficult is it to get the go-ahead for that kind of a project in communist China?
Well, I think you need to have very good relations with the Communist Party business networks. And clearly, Mr. Balik has been able to make this happen for the Railway Partners Company.
Do you think that this project will be a success in that part of the world?
I predict it will be a big success. You know, they're planning to run three trains a week with 16 cars. Each one would hold about 90 wealthy people as opposed to the regular train, which holds 900. And I think there's probably the demand there for this kind of tourism. So I expect it'll be a success. And, you know, with the full support of the Chinese government behind it, probably any problems that they might anticipate will be dealt with quite well. So I'm expecting it to work. But, you know, I think there's so much interest in tourism in China that doing 300 people a week is not out of the way at all. I think they'll probably oversubscribe on the tickets. And it would be a fabulous travel opportunity. I mean, you know, the scenery between Xining and Qinghai and Lhasa through the Tibetan mountains is outstanding. And so, you know, for people who like luxury travel, this would be something they'd really want to do.
Professor Burton, thank you very much.
Nice to talk to you.
Charles Burton is an associate professor at Brock University in St. Catharines, Ontario. And that will bring us to the end of Business Sense for this week on Radio Canada International. Just a moment to say thank you for writing to us. We got a nice letter from the Czech Republic, from Zbinek Kochi. In Bihar, India, Mukesh Kumar wrote to us. In Bangladesh, hello to Mofizur Rahman. Thank you very much for writing to us. I'll give you our email address. It is info@rcinet.ca, info@rcinet.ca. My thanks to our researchers, Elizabeth Rue and Derek Chan, our production assistant, Sylvie Calestang, and our technician, Thierry Boutin. I'm David Blair, the host and producer of Business Sense. Come back again next week. Talk to you then.